This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The United Nations has warned that half the world's population will face water scarcity in 15 years. This is accelerated by climate change and population growth. My name is Melissa Idris, and today we're looking at why water scarcity is so interlinked with water quality. To discuss this, we have Hosheng Sabawala, Regional Executive for Asia Pacific, GE Water and Process Technologies, as well as Krishna Vini Krishnan, Associate Director of the NKEA Greater Kuala Lumpur and Klang Valley for Pemandu. Hosheng, let's start with where Malaysia gets most of its water resources.
Malaysia gets most of its water from rainfall, part of which is used for groundwater recharge, part of it goes to surface water resources. And most of Malaysia gets its water from surface water. In fact, 98% of the Malaysian population gets its water from surface water. So rivers, lakes, streams, that kind of resource. We don't really use the groundwater as a resource, which is just fine because there is so much available from the surface water resource.
And this is where you come in, because you know the importance of Malaysia's dependence on surface water.
Yes, that's why we embarked on this project, River of Life. It's an important project because A, it's going to clean the river, but B, it's changing people's mindset towards your natural assets, like a river, and how you should treat it, how you should keep it clean, because the current way of doing things is not sustainable. So if you want a sustainable water supply, you have to make sure that you change your attitude.
Well, that's an interesting concept to explore, water sustainability. Mm-hmm. Given the fact that we have so much rainfall in a year, is water sustainability, water scarcity, water security, are those issues that Malaysians need to be concerned about?
Yes, absolutely, for a couple of reasons. One is that, yes, Malaysia may not be considered a water-scarce region or a water-scarce area, but there are large variations in seasonal rainfall in Malaysia. So when you need it the most, you get the lowest rainfall. The other piece of it is that you have large regional variations. The eastern part of Malaysia gets a lot more rainfall than peninsular Malaysia, and the population is more peninsular Malaysia versus eastern Malaysia. So I think that is where we need an integrated water management or a water program that looks at this holistically. The other key piece of this, though, Melissa, is the fact that the existing surface water resources cannot be contaminated. Okay, and we continue to, as we industrialize, knowingly and unknowingly contaminate these surface water resources. So that to us is the key in preserving the existing surface water resource, because otherwise you will become a water scarce region.
So you're saying that water quality and water scarcity is interlinked?
Absolutely, intimately interlinked.
Yeah, so currently, if I can just bring it back to specifically for the River of Life, 52% of the effluents coming into the Klang and Gombak rivers are from sewage. So as you can see, there's a major contaminant. So we have to make sure we intercept those and manage that. Under the River of Life, we are building two large sewage treatment plants. And this treatment plants, basically the discharge will be at a class 2B. It's a technical term, but it's a class 2B.
That's the quality of the water that you want to achieve.
Okay. Yes. So the discharge will be a class 2B, and so it can go into the river, and then there'll be a dilution effect. Currently, the way we are cleaning, a lot of people ask us, why can't you just intercept everything clean and then put it back into the river? We can't do that, unfortunately.
Is it an infrastructure problem?
It's also cost.
Okay.
It's also cost. So you have to, really plan your cleaning process in a very sort of strategic and detailed manner, because obviously there's some constraints, budget being one. And secondly, where are the sources of pollution, so to speak? So you have to make sure you intercept those. So what Hosheng mentioned, one is sewage, so 52%. Then we obviously have the industrial waste. Then we have waste that comes from market, wet markets. And then we have, eateries, the oil and grease from workshops.
Right.
So, the list is actually quite long.
And GE has the technology to help with this, right?
Absolutely. So to Vaini's point, number one, I think the challenge is that how do you collect the waste? What GE can do with the treatment plants is really help with, first of all, getting it to a standard which is even better than 2B. So this, in effect, you're cleaning the river by putting a cleaner water than the river itself right now. And eventually the natural rejuvenation process of the river takes over. Second is we provide what we call decentralized sewage treatment plants, which is as small as for an apartment building to, you know, as big for a community housing, where the water can be treated on site without odor and then reused for the most part on site itself for car washing, flushing, other purposes, therefore minimizing the load that goes to a central sewage treatment plant or to the river. So GE has technologies to do that.
I've been speaking to Hoshang Sabawala, Regional Executive for Asia Pacific for GE Water and Process Technologies, as well as Krishnavini Krishnan, Associate Director of the NKEA Greater Kuala Lumpur and Klang Valley for Pemandu. This conversation on water quality was brought to you by GE Malaysia. Imagination at work.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.